Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, in and around Europe, there are designated nature sites designed to protect the area itself and the species that live there. But in that regard, we aren't doing too well. Ireland has the fifth lowest levels of such lands in all the OECD countries. And we are apparently handling it so badly that the European Commission is taking us to court. Niall Sargent is a journalist with the Journal's investigative arm Noteworthy and joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Niall.
Afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Now, we don't want to confuse people with a flurry of various acronyms, but could you tell us in outline terms what it is we should be doing and what it is we aren't doing?
Yeah, so essentially we have this 13% of our land which is covered in these protected areas for certain habitats, be it bogs, and then for species like the curlew and corncrake and these other iconic species like the puffin. And like you said, it sounds like a lot, but it's actually quite a low percentage of the land cover. And then of those sites, we're not doing a very good job at all in terms of managing them. So it's one thing to designate our lands as protected areas, but it's a completely other thing to turn it from that paper protection into real world protection. And that's why the European Commission is taking us to European Court of Justice, which is very serious now, because we don't have these things called site-specific conservation objectives for a lot of sites. They're essentially the things you have to do to protect X, Y, and Z species that you're supposed to be protecting in that site. We have about 60% of our sites have them, but they're not really being implemented across the board because virtually none of our sites have actual management plans. So how do you turn those objectives into real-world action? We're essentially not doing that in our protected areas. And I think anyone who might go for a walk on some of the mountains and hills and the Wicklow Mountains, etc., that are supposed to be protected can see quite clearly that there's not really much management in place.
Who in Ireland should be doing that management?
Yeah, so a lot of the National Parks and Wildlife Service would be tasked with this sort of operation. And another thing that we found through our recent investigation into this issue is, unfortunately, they don't really have the resources and funding to be doing things on the scale that they're supposed to. They have a very large remit, but they are completely underfunded, understaffed, under-resourced for the role they're supposed to be playing. They've got a bump in the latest government now with the Greens in power, but still they're nowhere near the funding levels they had pre-crisis in the late 2000s. And even then, the agency didn't really have enough money to start with. So that there's a big issue there, that really a gap that has to be closed in the resourcing.
Right. OK, so we're saying it, but we're not putting the money to do it. So could you give us some specific examples of, because I assume these can vary from area to area, depending, say, on what wildlife is there, what specific measures have to be taken?
Yeah, exactly. So you might have a protected area for a habitat, but it might be a blanket bog. So it could be, you know, what do you need to do to protect that? It could be blocking drains that were in place. It could be moving, if there's livestock on some of the land that's been drained, for them to take them off, things like that, protecting certain species that would be growing there. And then you'd have, for example, a good one is the Skellig Michaels, which is, you know, we all know from obviously Star Wars now, and the puffin there. So that's a protected area for the puffin and several other species of seabird that are in trouble. So what you'd be trying to do there is make objectives to protect those species, be it if it's reduction in tourism numbers, if it's helping the habitat that they would need in that area, if it's cutting down in plastic pollution in the oceans, for example. That's a big issue in that area. You'd be doing things like that. The problem, just to go with the Skellig example, is that site was designated in the mid-80s. It still has no site-specific conservation objectives and no management plan. So that's just an example of how long it's taken for many sites to turn the paper protection into a real-world protection, especially for such an iconic species such as the puffin on such an iconic area such as Skellig Michael.
And are there figures on how this is affecting the puffin population there?
There wouldn't necessarily be offhand for that. Another example I could give you is probably for the hen harrier, which is a very rare raptor species, a ground nesting raptor species in Ireland. There is six sites across the country, a large areas protected, designated to protect that species. Unfortunately, again, we don't have the site-specific conservation objectives for any of those sites. and the population there is falling dramatically. We're quite low numbers now, below 100, to the point where the experts are quite afraid that they, along with the curlew and the corncrake, might disappear as breeding species from the island of Ireland. So
wow.
Things like the call of the curlew might be a thing of the collective past. Yeah.
And the Kerry rhododendron is an issue too. What's happening with that?
Yep. Kerry rhododendron is a fairly significant across actually the range of national parks that we'd have. So that's kind of a separate thing to that. There's a protected area network of about 600 of them. And then we have the six national parks, such as the Wicklow National Park or Killarney National Park. They don't really have, their management plans are out of date as well for most of them. And the rhododendron problem, it's quite significant. They can control it in certain parts, but it seems to be going back. There's been some controversy over the methods used for controlling the rhododendron in Killarney. But that's just one area, to be honest, where it's a problem. It's across a range of national parks along and protected areas across the West in particular, where rhodo and other invasive species are becoming another significant problem we're having to face and deal with.
Yeah. Now, as I understand it, we're supposed to send a report every 5 or 6 years or something to Brussels as to how we're doing. Are we sending those reports, or will we be saying the dog ate our homework kind of thing?
No, in fairness, we're sending very, very detailed reports that actually, you know, a lot of the data we would have used would have come from that. And that's in fairness, the MPWS do some fantastic work, but it comes back again to the resourcing they have. But they are sending those reports, and you're looking at, you know, over 70, almost 80 species of plants and animals that are now endangered from the island. That's not including birds. Then there's over 50 other bird species in trouble. Like I said, the puffin, other iconic species like curlew and corncrake. So there's a range of species that are under threat. And the reporting is very good from the MPWS, but it's also scary in the level of the problems we're facing. And that's just the species.
Mm.
Various, various habitats are under significant threat. And the ones we'd all think of are our lovely blanket bogs, and then our coastal areas, the dunes and everything like that are in big trouble across the island.
Niall, so now with endangered species, does that spread into our coastal areas? I mean, like in terms of fish or that kind of thing?
Yeah, you'd be looking at a certain species of shark and skate, and our dolphins are doing quite well. The seals, they were in trouble before, but they actually won the first protected species, harbour seals and grey seals. So there's decent numbers. They're still not at perfect levels, but the marine world is a whole other thing altogether as well, that we're really struggling to designate the amount of our seas as protected areas, these marine protected areas, where that's another area we're well behind on the European Union targets. I think we have about 2%, and we should be hitting a lot higher. So you know, some areas we're improving, we're doing quite well. The increased funding to the National Parks and Wildlife Service is good. There's a review going on at the moment. Hopefully, I think experts would like to see that agency become a standalone agency with much more powers. So progress there, but a lot more work to do to make sure those iconic species are still around for generations to come to hear the call of the curlew or the call of the corncrake on the island.
And the legal action being taken by the European Commission, what might that result in?
It's difficult to say, because we get in trouble quite often with the European Commission on the environmental side of things. So it's quite serious alone that it's gone to this level of going to the European Court of Justice, because, you know, there's been years of action to try to, where the Commission trying to push us to remedy these problems. It could result in fines. It could result in us having to change certain legislative measures at home. First and foremost, I think it's a bit of an embarrassment that it's got to this stage. That should push in a direction. But we've seen from other cases, there's a very famous one recently in Derry Brine case, where there was a landslide or bog slide connected to a wind turbine that was being put in there. The government had not, according to the Commission, put in place the proper environmental assessment. The European Court of Justice agreed, and now we're paying out daily fines, and I think we're hundreds of thousands, is up to millions at this stage, and we were hit with, I think, an immediate 5 million fine as well. So it can become quite significant, not just embarrassing, but there's a financial toll, and of course there's a toll for the environment until until things are changed.
Yeah. Niall, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Niall Sargent there. He's a journalist with Noteworthy. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.